Welcome back to Your Daily Dose. It's me, Nick. I love hearing about Bob's family, even if the circumstances are a little bit melancholy. With the patriarch of the family passing away recently, Bob's been spending a lot of time up there with his five siblings, and I get to live vicariously through him because it sounds like I would really get along well with these beautiful human beings. Enjoy.
It's been crazy. Crazy times. As you know, my dad died last week, and so I've been spending a lot of time with crazy people, which is really good for my soul, because these people are the people I feel safest with, and they're funny. I mean, they're just... My brother John, I was laughing so hard the day after my father's death in my office that Patty was wanting to know, what was that about? Because, and he was telling me the story of the doctor that came in to check on my father to check to see if he was dead. And so my brother and my sister knew that he was already gone, but this person has to confirm it medically. And she's a very slight Indian woman who comes walking into the room. I forget the name of the doctor. And she greets my brother and she goes over to my father. She says, "I'm here to confirm the death." And my brother John says, "Okay." And he's expecting her to pull out a stethoscope and listen to his heart and stuff. Instead, she grabs my father by the shoulders and she says, "Bob, can you hear me, Bob? Bob, can you hear me, Bob?" And my brother John, he's like, it was really hard not to laugh at that moment, that this is the way that this person chose to check
what?
And see. And he said, is that how they taught you how to check someone's dead, you know, in medical school? And she smiles and says, "It's what's most effective." It sounded like a Monty Python skit to me. You know, that you've got this person coming in very slight and calm and, you know, and nobody that you would expect
to start.
And you
already have this picture in your head of what they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
exactly.
Oh, I've got to check.
But apparently, you know, as John pointed out later, he had been attached to all the machines that were measuring whether or not his body working. Right? So this was just the final check. But I was laughing so hard at that story just because it just seemed so absurd to me.
Yeah.
But this is my family. We take the worst situation and we find the funny in it. My father, at one point in his life, lost his bladder and his prostate to smoking. So he got cancer of both organs. And I drew a series of cartoons called 101 Uses for Dad's Old Bladder. And I had everything from a chew toy to a throw pillow to a coin purse that said, "Don't piss your money away," to a woman who had a bladder hat and prostate earrings. And he loved it so much that he shared it with his kidney doctor, his renal specialist, who loved it so much that he shared it with his specialty group, who shared it with their professional journal. And so a lot of people end up seeing these cartoons just based on the fact that my father, instead of saying, "That's disgusting and horrible, and I've gone through a tragedy," decided it was funny enough to share. You know, so it's a good thing. This is kind of things that I've been thinking about lately, is remembering how funny he was, remembering how much he liked how funny we are. Because to a person, all five of my siblings and I am our funny humans. We like to laugh, we like to make fun, and people usually join in us. But when we're together, it's a weird situation. You'd be great because you're quick and you can see in all directions. But there's some people that really, it's so intimidating to them to be immersed in my family, where we all know what's going on and you don't quite know what's going on, and we know it. And so,
yeah. Oh, that has to be something that you guys just...
It's joyful.
Friggin'. Well, yeah, but that also, like, the person not knowing what's going on, you guys gotta just
right.
Press that button.
Guess what? And everyone who's married into our family had to get through the test. And it wasn't like the real test. It's
run
just
the gauntlet, yeah.
The test of us being there, you know, so.
How are you feeling? You have, we were talking about this before we got on, like, a celebration later this month.
Yeah, we're gonna do it. In the way that I think that my dad would most appreciate it. And my sense is right now, the plan is that we're going to have a big Italian feast in my grandmother's house where he lived last. He got it from my grandma. My grandmother gave that house to him. That was the one thing she was adamant about. No matter where she went, she was not giving up that house, because that house was going to her son. And what a lucky son, because he lived there for the last 15 years of his life, and it was paid for, you know, and he got a reverse mortgage on it and managed to live his life a little better than he would have been able to live. So beautiful thing. So we're going to go to that house. We're all going to gather together and we're probably going to tell stories. We're going to laugh, maybe drink a little bit. There will be kids present, so we'll have to keep it cool from that perspective, but not that many kids, and they're our kids. In addition to being hilarious, my five siblings are some of the most loving, caring, and compassionate people I know. They really take care of each other and whomever crosses their paths. And though it's tough to gain membership in this clan at first, once you're in, you're in. Then let the fun begin. Thanks for listening to all these personal stories that are emerging during this odd experience of commemorating my dad. It's tough to escape real life, so I don't. I just share it with Patty and Nick and all of you, and it seems to work out. Thanks for that. That does it for this episode, my friends. We'll see you tomorrow.